Well, if I were to ask you what's the primary purpose of our gathering on a Sunday morning, how would you answer that? Go ahead, shout something out. How would you answer that?
Fellowship and worship.
Encouraging one another. Every Sunday your battery's low and you have to come and get recharged. I hope you do experience some charging. I hope you have some discharge here also when you come, that it's not just all a receiving, but also we're going to talk more about that later, but hopefully there's also some giving involved. But yes, we do come to be fed and to feed. What else might you say to that? What is the primary purpose?
We're commanded to.
Commanded to, yes. Yes, we are commanded to.
To praise the Lord together.
To serve.
Showing gratitude and giving thanks.
All of these are good answers. And all of them are in some sense right and fitting. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 14 today. A whole chapter. We're not going to cover it in depth. But I want to... I want to explain a little bit more to some of the statements that I made during our mission statement short series. So I have been increasingly convicted that our gathering is to be an interactive and spirit-filled and participatory, relational gathering. And not merely one, as I said, where you're a spectator. This was something the early Anabaptists believed in, the priesthood of all believers. Only they took it a step further than some of the mainline reformers, where they would have agreed with it in word. I think the Anabaptists actually practiced it in ways that the mainline reformers never really stepped into. Tom's yepping me back there. I guess I'm right. Thanks. Tom taught a history class, and I think it's good to hear that I'm not stepping out of line there. So I appreciate affirmation. But this was something that set them apart. They practiced interpretation of the scriptures in a gathering, in a communal space. It wasn't merely for the educated and scholarly. It was for the average follower of Jesus who's living this out on a day-to-day basis. And so the early gatherings were participatory and relational, interactive. People were involved. As we go through 1 Corinthians 14, you can count how many people are speaking. There's probably 6, 8, 10 different people who are speaking on any given Sunday or other gathering. It's not merely just 1, 2 people. It's not merely just a pastor or a worship leader. It's a group building one another up. And so we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians 14. If you've already turned there, we're going to read first the first 5 verses of 1 Corinthians 14. 14, 1 through 5. I have it on the screen. Follow along with me as I read. Paul says... Now, let me set this up just a little bit. So you know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 12 was where he talks about the body being many members and how we're all functionally necessary. The eye can't say to the foot, you're not needed. And the ear can't say to the hand, what are you doing here? We don't need you. Like, all of the parts are necessary. If you think of a human body, what would you be without one foot or one arm? Like, you would be not fully able to function. And that's the picture of the body of Christ. When we're not able to exercise all of the parts of the body, we are inhibited in some way. So 1 Corinthians 12 is the body. 1 Corinthians 13 is pursuing love. And then he goes right into this saying in verse 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their building, upbuilding, and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in the tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. One of the things in Bible study, as you're seeking to understand a passage, when you see repetition, you know that it's something to take notice of. And in this chapter, in chapter 14, we see this word, or some form of it, upbuilding, 7 times in this chapter. Upbuilding, or it might be translated builds up, built up. When you see repetition, he's trying to get something across to you. This Greek word is also translated sometimes edification. It might be translated in your Bible as edification. But what this really means is just that, building up, strengthening, encouraging, exhorting the body of Christ. And we're going to see that, as I said, 7 different times in this particular chapter. Now, Paul is talking about prophecy and tongues, and I'm not here to get into a debate about that in specifics. What I want us to see is that the purpose in the gathering, the purpose of the spiritual gifts, is to build up the body. Pursue love for upbuilding. The use of the spiritual gifts is primarily for building up the body. Even as we just sang, "Come, Lord Jesus," we know that the Spirit of God wants to build up the bride of Christ for his return. That's really, if we really go deep, that's the purpose in all of it. It's not just so that we might feel better about ourselves, which is a byproduct of building up, but in the end, that there's a bride ready for the bridegroom when he returns. That's what we're longing for. That's what we come together for on a Sunday morning, is to build one another up. And this takes all of us. As we will see going through this, this is not just the work of one or two. If it's just the pastor, you might all become a head. Right? That's the picture. All parts of the body are necessary. And if it's just one person or two people ministering, then we might all become an arm, or we might all become a left foot. Imagine if we all had left feet trying to walk around. That wouldn't be good. Or if we all had, if we were all ears, you know, just imagine a lopsided picture of a person and how functionally inhibited they would be. The picture in 1 Corinthians 14, building off of 1 Corinthians 12 of the body and its many parts and pursuing love, is all of this is going towards building up the body of Christ. So whether it's prophesying or speaking in a tongue, the whole purpose is to build up, to upbuild, encourage, and console one another so that the church is strengthened. So we pursue spiritual gifts not for our own self-exaltation. That would defeat the purpose, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. If it's not done in love, it's all done in vain, he says. So we pursue spiritual gifts. And that means there's a certain amount of space given for that to happen, which growing up in different churches, I can say, isn't often the case in the main gathering. Oftentimes, there's different groups on the side, maybe a Sunday school group or a small group here and there where there's a little more freedom to operate. But often our main gatherings are sort of locked down. At least that's my experience. I think that's probably most of our experiences, is that it's sort of, you come in and you just sit front and someone speaks, you hear a good sermon and you go. But that's not the picture as we go through here. That's not the picture of the purpose of our gathering. So I mentioned 7 different times we see this word edification. We saw it 3 times in that first 5 verses. We go to 1 Corinthians 14:12. We'll see it again. Since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, pursue building one another up. So the spiritual gifts, the word gift is just charisma. If you heard of a charismatic, it's really off of this word, charisma, which is the word for grace with the suffix ma, which basically just means the operation of God's gift of grace through the individual believer as he's gathered for the ministry of the body. So the Holy Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, distributes the gifts of God according to his will. To each one of you is given a spiritual gift if you are in Christ, if you're trusting in Jesus, if you've repented and turned to Jesus. Each one of you has a spiritual gift or gifts. Now I imagine some or many of you will have some idea as to what your gift might be, but I imagine there's probably a decent level of uncertainty also in knowing what gift or gifts you might have from the Holy Spirit. And part of that is because I don't think we've done a good job at giving space for that to actually be exercised. So in our family at home, we say, when we're trying to teach manners, we say, this is a place to practice. So when they do things that are like, wow, that's not good, you know, we say, hey, this is a place to practice. And I think that is kind of the picture I see of the church in Scripture. This is a place to practice to some degree, to a safe place to experiment with the gifts of the Spirit. And again, we're pursuing gifts not in and of themselves, but in order to be able to minister to one another, pursuing love as it calls us to there in the opening. So we see it, this word, building up again there in 12. We see it in verse 17. This is someone who's speaking in tongues, and Paul is like, well, you may be giving thanks, but if you're speaking in a language that there's no one there to interpret, the other person is actually not being built up. Again, I'd point you all back to the purpose of gathering as the building up of the people sitting around you, as the strengthening and encouraging and exhorting and consoling of the people around you. That's what we come here to partake in. There's other ways we see this idea fleshed out in 1 Corinthians 14. This doesn't have the actual word edification, but we can still see Paul's heart behind it all is to instruct, is to build up. He says, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind than 10,000 in a tongue in order to instruct others. Again, the purpose is to build up one another. I hope that is coming through. 7 times we see this word edification building up in this one chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. I hope that's clear. There's other scriptures that are in your notes. Hebrews 19:25 says, do not give up meeting together. Continue encouraging one another, even all the more as you see the day approaching. This gathering is intended to strengthen and encourage every member as they come and give and receive to build one another up. So Paul continues, and this is kind of the climax, at least, of the instructions for the church gathering. 1 Corinthians 14:26, he says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." You're probably getting tired of hearing me say, building up. I hope so, because it will hopefully repeat it enough in your mind that when you go from here, you'll remember that this gathering is intended to build each other up. And I'm not saying this as if it's not happening. Don't hear that. But I want to put this even over and above, maybe even worship. And I'll show you in a minute why. But the primary purpose in our gathering is to build the body of Christ in the end, so that the bride of Christ is again ready for the bridegroom. So why does he do this? Why does he lay out this particular instruction? Why does he encourage participation from the body, from different members in the body? You see this, there's people coming with different things. Someone might bring a hymn. Luke might bring a hymn for us some Sunday. And Phil might bring a lesson some Sunday. And maybe Janice brings a revelation some Sunday. Like, that's the picture. We all come with something to give to the body. We all come with some way of participating in the building up of the body. And why is that? Well, if you go back, as again, I mentioned 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If we really believe in the priesthood of all believers, we believe that each one of you has something special to offer the group. That's what I think the emphasis is on here. Paul said, remember, so go back to 12:7 that I just mentioned. Each is given a manifestation. You go into the rest of 12 where he's talking about the body and its many parts and how it's all useful. And you go into 1 Corinthians 13, pursuing love. It's all for the building up of the body, because each one of us has a gift, has an ability to manifest God's Spirit among each other. And if we're not experiencing a broader participation, the reality is we may lose some feet. We may lose some hands. We may lose some mouths. We may lose some minds. Jesus Christ is most fully revealed in the body of Christ when there's many participating. And that's what we've been trying, what we're hoping and seeking and praying for in our gatherings, is more space given to different people. And I am inviting people to come and you know, minister in the worship host position, or to minister on the prayer team in different ways, to just minister to one another in our prayer times unofficially, just getting up and maybe moving towards someone who you know is in need of prayer that morning. You might have an especially strong gift of faith, and you know somebody is struggling with doubt in some way. Well, you know to go minister to that person and speak words of encouragement into their life. You might have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for somebody. So I had a friend who I had breakfast with recently who told me his wife went in for prayer, and the person praying for her prayed something that she could not have possibly known, but it spoke directly to her situation. See, the Father knows us. He knows our thoughts. We read in Psalm 139. He knows us. And if the Spirit of God is moving in and through us, that sort of knowledge can come out in different ways through people. So you might have a gift of faith, knowledge, wisdom. You might have a gift of discernment. You might have a gift of leadership, and somebody is struggling to know how to make a decision or to how to lead a small group, and you can impart wisdom in that way. You all are gifted. And by God's grace, we're going to continue to grow in understanding what each other's gifts are and how Jesus is represented in each person here. That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:7. I say all of this to say the purpose of our gathering is to build up the body of Christ. Hebrews 10:19, I read that one, or I mentioned it a minute ago. Hebrews 2:19 to 22 also speaks of this, talks about being a body, a building that is being built up into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. There's another passage in Romans, or in Ephesians 4, where it talks about He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers for the building up of the body. I hope, is there anybody here who doesn't believe the purpose of our gathering is for the building up of the body? I hope that that has been clearly seen in these many places of Scripture that we have looked at. We're going to move towards a time of prayer, but I also want to mention, you might have an objection, what about worship? Isn't worship what we gather for as well? And I would say yes and no. Yes, in the sense that when we gather, we praise God together, we give thanks to God together, we acknowledge His work among us. That sort of worship, yes, we come together to do that, and that is a special, beautiful part of our coming together. But the New Testament, when it speaks of worship, it doesn't speak of worship in the assembly of Christians. It doesn't. If you look at the different words for worship in Scripture, there's multiple words that are used for worship. They all refer to an Old Testament practice of sacrifice, some sort of sacrificial ritual in the temple. And so metaphorically, we worship the Lord, not the same way they did in the Old Testament. The New Testament speaks of worship in a much more holistic way. Romans 12:1 is the picture of worship. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. When we come to think of Sunday morning as a gift of worship that we give to God, it very much relates to the Jewish sacrificial system. But God, in the New Covenant, says your whole lives, the entirety of your life, is worship. It's not something you just come to do on a Sunday morning. The picture is every thought and condition of the heart is an act of worship. This is how Scripture speaks of worship. So it doesn't speak of worship in the Christian gathering. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 14 or other places where it mentions, it doesn't use any word for worship in the gathering. The gathering, the reason they came together was to pour into and build up each other. That's why we gather. The primary purpose for the Christian gathering is not worship, but for the building up and strengthening of the body. I want to invite you again. I have some discussion questions at the bottom of your notes there, and I'd love to hear from you on some of this. And now we're limited on time, so we'll have to kind of work with that. But I have some questions there for you to consider. I think one of the realities is we need to engage with Scripture and not just hear it spoken. So I'm inviting you to really consider, do you agree with this idea presented? Do you agree that the primary purpose of our gathering is for worship. I'm open to some reflections, some thoughts, like this is a family discussion. We're all together in this. We're building each other up even in this. Do you agree that the primary purpose of our gathering is for worship? Or, sorry, not for worship. The primary purpose of our gathering is for building up the body. Yes, yes. Some people are saying yes. Others are unsure. Hopefully I haven't lost anybody. Well, yeah, I think, you know, when Paul talks in Ephesians 4 or Ephesians 5 about being filled with the Spirit, and it goes on to say that we address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There is something about the gathering and singing that actually strengthens one another. And it's that we're praising God, yes, but I think there's even something about that that builds each other up. When you see somebody worshiping wholeheartedly, praising God, and even, you know, bringing forth honest, authentic worship, what does that do for your own spirit? Doesn't that build you up to see somebody else doing that? That's my thought. I don't know. You guys can share if you have any thoughts there. I don't want this to be necessarily a monologue, so you can give input as you see fit, as you feel led. But I've been really convicted that the primary purpose of our gathering is for this building up. And the way we've structured our services has probably not always allowed for that to happen in the best way. So I long for more participation, and I'm open to creating space for that in whatever ways we can come to agreement on or however we see best. But I want you to be involved and participate in that discussion. Robin, I'm not downplaying the role of the worship team in any way. I'm simply saying the overarching purpose of our gathering is to build one another up. And Steve does that when he plans and prepares worship. And Renee does that when they plan and prepare worship. That's an act of serving the body that they give in order to build up. Mm-hmm. Right, and I agree. And I think that's where it goes back to this. Our whole lives are that act of worship. But I'm speaking of like the specific reason we come together is to honor God, yes, because Scripture does command us, like Janice had mentioned. But what we see in Scripture is it's for the building up of the body. I mean, that is pretty clear to me in this chapter. And that's what I was kind of mentioning earlier, like that's the underlying purpose of even building up the body. If we go even deeper than that, as far as what's the reason we gather, to be a bride that's ready for Christ, I think is the underlying purpose to even that. Certainly you all have some more thoughts running around out there. Tom? Prayer. Yeah, I mean, that's clearly, there's women prophetesses, and we see women acting in different ways throughout Scripture. Even earlier in 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul's talking about the head covering, it talks about women who are prophesying. And so, yeah, we see that in different places in Scripture. I think my second question there, I think, sort of relates to that. Anyway, I just invite you to consider how the gatherings, if there is anything in mind that might be better done a different way, how that would look. Not that we're going to totally throw everything out the window at all. But if there is a way to better facilitate broader participation, what would that look like? What might that look like? Just a question for you to consider as we continue praying and thinking on this. Feel free to share with me at another time also if something comes to mind. I'm open to this. I want to move towards the last question I have there is, how can you as an individual participate in building up of the body? Many of you are. There are so many of you that are building up the body and participating in different ways. But I think the picture we get in Scripture is that everybody brings something to give. Everybody has something unique and special to give. And so if you are, praise God. I thank you for that. And if you're struggling to know what that is, please come talk with me, speak with me some other time. I'd love to like dig into that with you. Like figuring out spiritual gifts and talking through that is something we can do, but it's also something we can experience as we gather here. So you might sense a specific rise in faith when someone shares a prayer request about something in particular. You might sense wisdom about a particular decision somebody has to make. So as we do that, ministering just freely, not necessarily going totally, like there's order here. Paul ends this whole chapter by saying our God is not a God of chaos, but of order. There's got to be some order, but there's also got to be some freedom to operate. And that's what I just want to extend to you. If you feel a leading or just a burden to do, pray, minister to somebody, follow that. Experiment with that. We want to be a safe place where we can learn what it looks like to minister to each other. And you might, honestly, you might be uncomfortable. You probably will be uncomfortable and awkward. But that's why we're here, to bear with one another and to work alongside with one another in ministering. We all have so much to give one another, and we want to be able to do that and to minister to one another. So I just invite you to consider that. What are you bringing to offer the body? The reality is you have something valuable. And if you don't know, we want to pray with you and work alongside you to figure out what that might be and give you space to figure that out here. Last thought there, Tom. That is, yeah, not to belabor anything more, but I think that was one of the beautiful things I saw in our praying together was we actually prayed with different generations, and there's something really powerful about that. The kids are welcome to participate in that as they are best able. Obviously, I know, you know, there's things where you have to move one aside or take one out, but we invite the kids to be a part of that. They have something to give us as adults. And so there's a mutual upbuilding that happens when we do that. And we're going to continue in that practice of just breaking down into groups and praying with and for one another. We're not going to do it today again, but I invite you, as we sing our closing song, if there is somebody on your heart even now, like, hey, I know this person is struggling, maybe I'll just move towards them and see if I can pray for them in a specific way. Like, just be sensitive to that prompting and then follow through with that. If we can all honor one another in that and knowing that they're seeking to step out in faith, even if they mess up a few things here and there, if it's uncomfortable, we can give them that grace to do that together. So, anyway, as we pray, I invite you to continue to do that. As we sing our closing song, again, the Lord leads, follow his leading. Father, we thank you for your gift among us. God, the reality is that you want Jesus to be manifested fully in the body of Christ here. And there are parts of our body where those gifts are maybe not fully expressed yet. And so we want to pray over that, Father, that you would release your gifts of the Holy Spirit who wants to manifest Jesus in a way that maybe he hasn't yet in this body. We pray that you would release those gifts, release the freedom to operate in those, release the space to do it. Father, there are valuable gifts hidden away in the people here, and we want them to be revealed. We want them to work and minister to us. So we pray, God, move by your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on us. Holy Spirit, you are the river of life. Pour out your power among us. In Jesus' name, amen.